So I go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Of course, we continue on in our study of how to read the Bible, making the most of the treasure in your hand. I hope that this has been maybe a renewed discovery for you of how powerful, how precious, how wonderful the Word of God can be in our hands. As we were driving back from the soccer and volleyball game on Friday night, I was talking to Brother Reza, and he has a tremendous testimony. If you have ever heard how he got saved and how his parents and brothers got saved, just an amazing, amazing story. One of the aspects of it that stood out to me was the fact that when, after 30 years, he was able to go back to Iran and share the gospel with his brothers, he got there. And he began talking to them about how the Lord had changed his life. And they had seen, they obviously, you know, his brothers had grown up with him, and they had seen what he was as a teenager, and he was so different. 30 years later, he was so different. Well, how is it that you're so different? And he began to tell them the story of how he came to know Christ as his Savior. And as he communicated that to them, he got over there and he said, we didn't have a Bible in Farsi. He said, we didn't have one that we could look at. In fact, you fast forward, and as they spent a couple of weeks just trying to find a Bible and looking all around, they went to different churches and the Roman Catholic Church over there, and they finally found one. But nonetheless, the first couple of days he spent with them, just sharing Christ with them, they eventually accepted Christ as their Savior, which is tremendous. But part of the story was they were talking about, do you have any type of religious literature in the house? And I guess one of them said, well, I've got this book of John that somebody gave me. I think it's on the shelf. And they went and got it. And 20 years before, somebody had given them a Gospel of John. And so Brother Reza was able to explain salvation from the Gospel of John, and they ended up getting saved. But for 20 years, it sat on the shelf. And you know, what was fascinating to me was someone 20 years before that, unbeknowing the situation, unbeknowing that fast forward 20 years that a household would be saved, made an effort to put that in their hand. And boy, out of God's divine providence and the way He draws people to Himself, that book of John was used. And you know what? That's the power of God's Word. And you know what? Just as there's one story that we step back and we say, wow, that's an amazing thing, there are millions of other stories that could go hand in hand. So as we seek out to get the most out of God's Word, let's be reminded that this is such a powerful book that God has used over and over again in the lives of people. Psalm 119, we're looking at verse 18 here. This has kind of become our theme verse as we seek to study the Bible and, as we said, get the most we can out of it. Verse 18 of Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Heavenly Father, would you guide our thinking today? Lord, we are excited to study your word. Lord, to meditate upon it. Lord, we see the importance and how you have used it time and time again, Lord, all over the world. And yet, Lord, you are a personal God with a personal message that is directed towards us as individuals. And so today, Lord, may all of us take ownership of the book that you've placed in our hand. And may we be excited, Lord, as we think about ways that we can get the most out of it today. Lord, may all of what we talk about impact our daily Bible time with you. In your name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at today, of course, last week we talked about different ways that we can read the Word of God. But today I want to be a little more specific and talk about things to look for as we read the Word of God. And so we're going to look at that, six things to look for as we're reading. And there are different categories of these. We're not going to get all of them today. We're just going to look at hopefully just three of them. But we need to know what we're looking for when we read God's Word. Now, it has some difficult aspects to it, okay? It's written in Old English. There are times that we may have to look something up or really focus in. There are some challenges. But as we come to the Word of God, if we don't have already some things in our mind, we're probably not going to get the most out of it that we can. You know, when I am sick or something like that, and I, you know, go to the doctor, and the doctor says, all right, stick out your tongue, you know, and they you know, go with the diagnosis. I don't have that ability. Okay, if Josiah came to me this morning and he said, Brother Scott, I want you to look at my tongue and tell me what's wrong with me. I would say, Josiah, put that thing back in your mouth. All right. I don't have that ability. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't have the ability to look and look at your throat and see your tongue and know what's going on with you. Okay. A doctor does, okay, because he knows what to look for. I don't know what to look for. But when we read the Word of God, we should be mindful of some of these things. Number one, notice things that are emphasized in God's Word. Our antennas should go up when we see things that are emphasized throughout the Word of God. What type of things? What type of things? Well, I think one of those things can be the amount of space given to a certain topic. I want you to think about that, all right? Think about portions of God's Word in which a section or maybe a book is given to a specific topic, okay? What's happening there? God is emphasizing something to us for a reason. He wants us to get a hold of it. Somebody this morning, help me answer that question. Give me a portion of the Bible in which we could say, hey, God seems to be emphasizing something here of importance. Somebody give me something. Yeah, Elijah. Yeah, yeah, excellent, excellent. Yeah, in fact, we could look to the whole book, right? We could say, hey, wow, I mean, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment. It's in every chapter of that book. And so God places a high priority upon that. It's emphasized. Yes? Creation. Yeah, creation is emphasized. In fact, it all starts with that, right? And it all builds on that. You know, in the beginning, God. You know, there are certain aspects of Christianity that want to cut God out of creation. And when you do that, it messes up the whole sequence. You lose the big picture when that happens. But nonetheless, somebody else, something that you can look at that God's emphasizing. Yes. Say again. Yeah, that would be something that comes up everywhere, right? You see it honored. People that respect and obey, honor authority, that is blessed. And it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. So things that are emphasized are often given an amount of scripture to a certain topic. For instance, Matthew has 1,062 verses in it. 342 of those are of Jesus speaking. That's what's being emphasized in the book of Matthew is, here is Christ. Here is Jesus. What he says is important. Okay, so again, the antennas should go up when we think of things that are emphasized. One way is the amount of space given to a topic. You look at Paul's writings. You can look at the book of Ephesians. You can look at the book at Colossians. You can see a balance in regards to the topics given there. You can look at the book of Romans. Romans has a diversity of things in it. Okay, but there's one predominant theme in the book of Romans. What is that? What is the overarching theme that most of the chapters are given to in the book of Romans? In fact, when you think of some of the verses that you know have memorized out of the book of Romans, what is that theme, generally speaking? Yes. Salvation, yeah. I mean, a good half of the book, maybe even two-thirds, is given to the doctrine of salvation. Do you think the doctrine of salvation is important? Your head should be doing this morning, okay? Yes, it's absolutely important. And sometimes we look at it and we say, well, he's just really laboring this thought here. Well, he's really, I mean, he's getting into the nitty-gritty and he's carving it out and he's being real specific. Why is that? Well, because no other place in Scripture are we given that much detail about what's happening when God saved me. And so it's emphasized there because it's important. And so we see that, the amount of space given to a topic. So things that are emphasized. How else can things be emphasized in God's words? Well, sometimes a stated purpose, a stated purpose. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. You're not from it, far from it, but Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, sometimes the Bible just comes right out and tells us, hey, this is important. Okay, and that's when we should like, oh, hey, I'm not going to miss this. I'm not going to miss this. The book of Proverbs is a great example of this, especially when we look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What is Solomon doing here? He's setting up the importance of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And those verses there just lay the foundation for everything that's going to come. The Lord is emphasizing something to us. We should say, oh, that is important for me. I'm going to pay special attention to it. So he does it by the space that's given to a topic. He does it by the stated purposes we see in God's Word. Hey, this is important. Listen to what I'm about to say. And then next of all, we see the order by which things are given. Sometimes the order in which things are laid out reveals to us how important something is. And there's a number of places that we can see this in Scripture as well. For instance, sometimes there's some discussion about when we look at the curse, what was all involved in the fall of man and the curse that was placed upon man? What was involved there? Sometimes people would say, well, you know, work was a result of the fall. But order matters because when we go back to the book of Genesis and we begin to find the order by which the Lord set man up, we see that work was actually something that was included before the fall. He looked at Adam and he said, hey, my desire is that you would keep the garden. And so Adam was given jobs, okay? Work is not a part of the curse as much as we'd like to, and sometimes feel like it is. Oh, I don't want to work today. Oh, that's just so hard. Oh, boy, I can't wait till we get to heaven and there'll be no work, or whatever we think, okay? This is a way that God emphasizes order, and it's important for us. So pay attention to order as you read things in the Bible, and that will give us more clarity. So things that are emphasized, space given to a topic, stated purpose, order, and then final for this point is the movement from lesser to greater, or vice versa. Now, the movement from lesser to greater. Notice sequence of events. Look at David's life and see how the Lord is setting him up, and then notice the spiral, his downfall after his sin with Bathsheba. Notice how God is blessing him, and then after that, things begin to unravel in his life. It's a movement from greater to lesser, or lesser to greater. If you look in the book of Acts, you'll notice that there is, in Acts chapter 2, a monumental event that makes all of the difference when you consider everything else that happens outside of Acts chapter 2. And we call that Pentecost. Pentecost was a turning point in which the church was really launched. It was launched at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is given, and then God's people go out in different directions and begin starting churches. And the rest of the book of Acts is really built on Acts chapter 2. And so recognize the sequence of things in Scripture. Oh, that's interesting. Boy, I wonder, all this stuff traces back to what event? Oh, that event. Wow. And then we're able to see even more how the Lord is pointing in the direction of principle and things that He is emphasizing. So, number one, all right, what are things that we can look for when we're reading? Well, look for some things that are emphasized. Number two, look for some things that are repeated. Look for things that are repeated. Okay, now you say, Brother Scott, why have we spent 2 months talking about how to read the Bible? Well, because it's important and you wouldn't get it in just one lesson. So we talk about different aspects. Okay, we talk about some similarities that spread out across every lesson, but at the same time, the repetition is helping us learn. I was reading a book 4 or 5 months ago, and it was talking about businesses, and it was saying that employees do not begin to believe something about management or their company until they've heard it 7 times. You just look and say, hey, this is a core value of Microsoft, and you just say it one time, nobody's going to get that. Okay, why? Because we react to repetition. You can't be a great soccer player if you don't incorporate repetition in the way that you train. It's just not going to happen. And you could say that for any field. So repetition is extremely important, and yet we see repetition over and over in the Word of God, and it should be something that we are quick to recognize and see. Matthew chapter 11. Go to Matthew chapter 11. You'll see here how the Lord Jesus uses repetition. I'm going to challenge everybody to stay engaged. I know looking out this morning, some of you are tired and you look like you're about to hit your forehead on the seat in front of you or on the seat you're sitting in, your head, the back of your head. So I just encourage you to get a pen in your hand and start writing or get your Bible in a better position so that you can pay attention. But we're talking about things that are repeated in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. You'll notice a phrase here that the Lord Jesus uses over and over again. The Bible says this. It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a phrase that Jesus will repeat. Okay, so what is it meant to do? It's meant to grab attention. Okay, it's meant to draw everybody back and pull everybody in. And so this is something that is repeated, and it's something that we see throughout the Word of God. So specifically, what type of things are repeated in the Scriptures? Well, terms, phrases, and clauses. Pay attention to those. When there's repetition, pay attention to that. Psalm 136, go there with me. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, a lot of repetition in this psalm. Many of you have read it before and will be familiar, but if you notice the first couple of verses, Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. And you keep on going, it says, for his mercy endureth forever. Almost every verse here, for his mercy endureth forever. Why is it that the Lord is repeating that to us? You guys help me out this morning. Why is it that God spends this much time in Psalm 136 to tell us that his mercy endureth forever? Why is he doing that? Yeah. To emphasize what? His mercy. We serve a merciful God. Yeah, we do. We do. And he wants us to know that. And more so than know it, he wants us to remember it. And so the repetition here is meant to grab our attention, and that often occurs in terms and phrases and clauses. What other ways? Characters in the Bible. Characters are often repeated. Think about some characters that come up in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Who would that be? Who would that be? Some characters in the Bible that would be repeated. Are there characters who come up in both the Old Testament and the New Testament? Maybe mentioned in the New Testament that are from the Old Testament? Yes. Yeah, Moses. Moses comes up. Yeah, who else? Yeah, Elijah? Abraham? Nico? Elijah? All right. Who else? Yeah, Josiah? Uh-huh, yep. Zach? Jonah? Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, okay, there's a reason. Timmy, you got one? David, yeah. There's a reason these characters come up, because the Lord is pointing us back to a testimony. He's pointing us back to, hey, listen, learn from this man. Learn from his life. Or don't make the same mistakes that he made or she made or whoever. So things that are repeated, terms, phrases, and clauses, be mindful of characters, be mindful of incidents and circumstances. Throughout the book of Judges, we see the people did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It's a circumstance that continued to repeat itself. The Lord wants us to learn from that. So incidents and circumstances, patterns, when we see a pattern. You notice when you look at 1 and 2 Samuel, you see when Saul did something wrong, who's doing something right? Saul's doing something wrong. David's doing something right. You see that pattern repeat itself time and time again. So, well, what is Saul doing wrong here? Okay, well, maybe he's prideful. Okay, well, let's see. David's in the same chapter. What's his response in this situation? Well, maybe it's forgiveness. Okay, maybe he has humility about him in some way. But why? Is that just a coincidence? Is that just something that, well, that's kind of a kind of cool thing there? No. Somebody who, with more knowledge and power and ability than you and I, laid this out long ago. And God is who he is. And so he repeats things, sometimes patterns, so that we can learn from them. Last thing, and then we're done this morning, what are things that are repeated in Scripture? And we've touched on this already, but New Testament use of Old Testament passages. You know, sometimes Jesus is quoting from the prophets. You know, sometimes Jesus is pointing to Jonah. I think Zach brought Jonah's name up. There was some question about whether or not the book of Jonah should be included in the 66 books of the Bible. There was some question about that. Jesus put all that to rest when he mentioned Jonah. It was an important book. It was meant to be included. And so New Testament use of Old Testament passages, our ears should go up. Some of you have cross-reference Bibles. Some of you have in that center column of each page, you have verses that are given there. How many of you have that in your Bible? How many of you have that? Okay. You ever take the time to look those up? Sometimes when Jesus is maybe talking about Jonah, you'll see a Jonah passage there. And you can go over and you can go look at it. Sometimes when there's something being talked about, they'll give the Old Testament passage that's in the New Testament and point you back to the original person who maybe said that. And so why are these things the case? Well, because they're important. Okay? And when you and I go to the Word of God and we're already thinking, okay, Lord, I don't want to sleep on this passage of Scripture, Lord. I want to make sure that I'm getting everything out of it I can. And when I take these few things here that we've gone over this morning, things that are emphasized, repeated, and then we'll look at things that are related next week. But Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your Word. And Lord, I pray that it would give us encouragement every day this week. And I pray, Lord, that the study that we're doing is just so that we can get the most out of our time with you each day. Lord, we pray that the book that we hold in our hands would not just be an academic exercise. But Lord, we would see the value, how personal it is to each one of us. And Lord, we would discipline ourselves to be patient as we read. Lord, to look for some things. And may your Holy Spirit be quick to whisper in our ear. Lord, be with our morning service. We ask that you'd work in a special way. In your name we pray. Amen.